Now, all the guys have had an impact in the series, and you know that's what's been so special about it. It hasn't just been one or two guys stepping up and doing the job, and you can't really win an Ashes series when that's the case. So it's been good that so many different people have stepped up at different times to help us win this series. But I was looking yesterday, actually, when we were out on the field, and it came up with all the wickets for the series that all the bowlers had got, and each one of them, I think, had over 20 wickets. So, you know, it's just showed that the guys have bowled together as a group, bowled in partnerships, bowled for one another, and helped us take the 80 wickets that we've needed to win four test matches. So, you know, Nathan's been exceptional with that as well. You know, the way he's bowled and consistency he's had has been outstanding. And to be fair, I think actually the moment that changed the whole series was Nathan Lyon and his run out in at the Gabba. That was such a huge moment in the series, and you know, those sort of plays can change a series, and I certainly think that was a series changing moment.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Cricket Unfiltered, the News Corp cricket podcast. That was Steve Smith talking about Australia's Ashes triumph, and Australia have wrapped up the Sydney Test, winning by an innings and 140 runs. And I'm joined by Pete Lawler from The Australian to talk about what some have described as a dull series. Do you agree with that?
Well, attritional would be kind of word, wouldn't it? But it's certainly not one of the more interesting Ashes series I've covered, I've got to say. Looking at the positives, we got to see Steve Smith bat, didn't we? And, you know, that'll go down in history. That was a fantastic effort by him. But it was pretty ordinary. I mean, it was 3v5, wasn't it, when it started, and 5v3 when it finished, or vice versa, whichever you want, because I think the teams have swapped rankings. But two not great teams playing cricket. England did not play good cricket. Australia did play good cricket. There's positives, but not a lot of them.
Yeah, the day didn't start well for poor Joe Root. As if his tour couldn't get any worse. He was sick this morning. He couldn't resume his innings. He came out to bat for a little while before lunch, but then he had to go off a bout of gastro combined with the extreme heat. I guess what will frustrate Joe Root even more, Pete, is we're looking at a very rainy Sydney. Perhaps if England had been able to get this game until the post-tea session, they could have held on. So I think Joe Root will have learnt a lot, but he'll be happy to go home.
Yeah, poor bugger, isn't he? Yeah, I was just musing in my match report that, you know, I imagine him, he's asleep in the back of the dressing room waking up and asking, was it all a nightmare? tell me it didn't happen, but I'm sorry, Joe, it did. I mean, good to see that toughness come through with Joe in the end. I mean, he's been on that field for most of the 4 days. He was on the field almost all of that hottest day from hell. Now, they're saying that it's just gastro. So then he comes back, he has gastro all night, comes out, and he gives it a crack. He has a bat, good on him. But I think he got to lunch and apparently just looked like awful. He said, I've got to go and lie down. Went to the back room and just fell instantly asleep. So they thought, no, don't wake him. You know, it's all over.
I've actually got a lot of respect for the way the English have carried themselves throughout this series. I think a lot's been thrown at them on and off the field, and Jimmy Anderson spoke afterwards and he was very dignified. I mean, you know, you have to give England credit for the way they've carried themselves, and even Joe Root, you know, it's obviously been a hugely difficult tour for him, but he's never really cracked. And, you know, England can leave here with at least some pride in the way they've carried themselves.
Well, I'm going to be a bit mean-spirited.
No good, I like that.
Do you?
Yeah. That's why I got you on.
Look, they haven't behaved poorly, but I think that Joe Root needs to learn to be a little bit more aggressive and positive, and just have a little bit more of what my mother calls SH1T in him. Are we allowed to say that on the blog?
Yeah, we are. Definitely, yeah.
Are you allowed to swear on this blog?
Yeah. You can say whatever you want. That's okay.
Yeah. Don't go all Johnny Rotten here. What was I saying? I thought that they tried to make themselves a small target from the moment that they arrived. This was Root's approach, you know. Nothing's going on, nothing to worry about, we're all sweet. I thought he was just a tad wimpy. I tend to agree with Ricky Ponting. A little bit of the little boy thing was there. The little boy on the burning deck, Joe Root.
Wow.
I reckon there's points in this, and I hope that they happen behind the scenes, where, you know, he stomped his foot and banged his fist on the table. I know the coaching staff did over a few incidents.
But, yeah. Yeah, there we go. So Joe Root in 4 years will be a different man when he arrives here. So, look, let's talk about a couple of Steve Smith's comments. He said that it was a very good all-round team effort, and that really is embodied with the wicket takers. Pat Cummins finished the leading wicket taker with 23, Stark 22, Hazelwood 21, Lyon 21. There were no other wicket takers. Just a tremendous all-round effort from the bowlers and also the batsmen. They all contributed at different times, apart from maybe Cameron Bancroft.
You never see a more balanced contribution from bowlers, will you? You know, each bowler's won a test match, haven't they? And each has got 20 wickets, which is what you need to win a test match. Brilliant. They won because they bowled faster. I mean, this is my simplistic take on it. They bowled faster and they batted slower. I mean, simplistic takes are never quite right, and it doesn't include Nathan Lyon, and he was absolutely outstanding. He was, you know, he spun this web. You know, if they were trying to run away from the quicks, there was nowhere to go. You know, Nathan had them trapped. Really amazing contribution by the Australian bowlers. I mean, if you think back to the last series that Australia won 5-0, Johnson basically took all the wickets. I know it was a team effort to some degree.
And that sort of plays into that dull series thing, that there's no real standout.
Yeah, good point.
Or,
good point.
You know,
yeah.
Ran through them in, and it was just such a good team effort.
Four reasonable sports cars, not an F1.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, great to see Pat Cummins finish this test with 8 wickets on his home ground, you know, 5 tests in a row, you know, man of the match performance. Just, I guess he's a real feel-good story. But and look, there's many years to come for Pat Cummins. I mean, this next 2 years will be huge for him with, you know, a World Cup and then an Ashes in England.
Yeah, look, I think even more important than his 8 wickets here, or even his, what did you say, it was 23 wickets he took?
Yes.
Yeah, even more important than that was that he played 5 tests on the back of, you help me add these up, what was it, 2 in Bangladesh and 2 in India.
So that's 9.
That's 9 consecutive tests from a bloke who strung together 1 test across 6 years, you know, and could barely play a first-class game. So that's fantastic. He sort of hinted in the press conference the other day that he probably won't play too much of the one-day series. I'm very pleased to hear that. It's interesting now. I'll tell you what's going on here too. They name all the quicks in the one-day series, but they really don't want them bowling that much in the one-day series. But they name them all. They say they're all going to bowl because that's what the broadcaster wants and that's what, you know, the marketing department wants. But hopefully you don't see those guys playing every test. And I think they'll rotate. They'll rotate, won't they? They have to. Yeah.
Just a shame there's a lot of injuries that affect that plan. But and the one thing that struck me from Smith's comments was this small thing that he identified as the changing point in the series was going way back to the Gabba, that first day when Nathan Lyon ran out James Vince. And that was such an interesting point for the captain to really draw attention to, as he saw the turning point in the series so early. I found that strange because for me the turning point was more the fourth afternoon where in the Gabba where Australia ran through England. But Smith thinks that, you know, that early change of momentum, getting Vince out for 83, sapping the momentum from England's first innings, just changed the whole series. Amazing that Steve Smith would identify that early moment as the turning point.
Yeah, well, look, it was quite interesting, wasn't it? Because what were England at that point? They were 2 for 145. Vince was, I'm just going back through the card now, Vince was 83. So he was flying. So you take that forward. He keeps going. He gets a century. He feels a hell of a lot better about himself and the way he bats.
And England have another 100 runs in the first innings.
Yeah, that's right. And that first innings really changed. It was 1 wicket after that first innings changed. I remember watching that thinking, gee, Australia are in real trouble here. And let's not forget, they didn't get out of trouble very quickly either, because England were, he says, quickly checking the scorecard, 4 for 246 at one point. And what were Australia? 4 for 64 or so, 74, something like that.
Take your word
the next
for it.
Day, round there and abouts. It doesn't really matter. Detail's not my strong point. Actually, I'm going to tell you what, it was 4 for 76. So, yeah.
Who'd have thought Nathan Lyon's fielding would be the change in Ashes?
Underestimated fielder. I reckon you're stereotyping spinners there, because they're usually pretty ordinary. You just remember Shane Warne dropping that catch in 2005 that cost us the Ashes, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's marked them all. But Nathan Lyon's always been a good fielder. I remember him on debut taking that 5th wicket in Sri Lanka and just taking a beautiful, like, caught and bowled, very athletic. And you watch him move around the field, he's pretty good. He's got good hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, well, and so that moment identified as the turning point, but now 4-0 Ashes series victory, hasn't been seen since 1989. I wonder if it'll be another, 17 years or 16 years until England regain the Ashes. So what's that? It'll be 2034? Is that...
Where are you going with this? Well, 89? What happened in 89?
Well, Australia won the Ashes and didn't give them up till 2005. So 4-0. So we could see another 16 years of dominance.
Yeah, why not?
Now, I just want to turn the page slightly on and look ahead at the year before we end this wrap. That really, I think now two things start. The build-up to the 2019 Ashes in England is starting in earnest, but also the build-up to the 2019 World Cup. And, you know, this year we have Test Series against South Africa, Pakistan and India. So I think it's a big year ahead. Anything stand out for you that's coming ahead?
The year ahead, oh, gosh. I wake up in the morning wondering what I'm going to do next, Andrew. But what stands out for me is this 4 Test Series against South Africa. I'm really, really excited about this.
You going?
Yep. Well, I actually haven't received permission yet, but I assume I usually get permission. I'll tell you...
Is this your visa getting into South Africa, or...?
No, it's...
a work thing.
Work from the... yes.
Permission from
the...
issue.
No, it's the accountants I'm worried about. Anyway, where were we? Oh, right, we're talking about why I'm excited about that. I tried to watch the Big Bash the other night. I sat on the couch. I cannot engage with the Big Bash. We might talk about this next podcast.
Yes.
It drives me silly. Maybe that's my age. But I flicked over and watched day one of South Africa and India. And, God, it was exciting cricket. A pitch that bounced, had seam on it, really good pace attacks on both sides. But the one that's waiting for us is Rabada, Steyn, Morkel and Philander. They're going to be... That's one of the better bowling attacks in the world, isn't it, in terms of seamers, I reckon.
Like those two, you put the Australian attack against that one, the average speed's going to be higher than we may have ever seen before.
Yeah, and look, they are highly, highly skilled bowlers. That Rabada can make it, you know, he makes it move both ways. And, you know, Philander on a seaming deck, he's pretty good. And Morkel has it's really interesting, isn't it? How old would he be? He's right at the end of his career, I reckon, but he's learnt to bowl a decent length. You know, always bowl too short for my mind because he has that incredible bounce.
And he was very close to giving up the game a couple of years ago. So.
Yeah, and I don't think he's long for it, but I'm glad the penny's dropped. So that's going to be a great series, and it's going to really test the Australian batsmen. I mean, runs are going to be so much harder to come by than they were in this series. It'll be interesting to see how Smith goes. I'm really worried for Bancroft. I'm worried for Bancroft anyway, but you get over there on those seeming tracks, I mean, you know, he's off stumps going to be flying out of the ground before he takes guard, I reckon.
Yeah, look, I agree with you, and I think the last three tracks have been pretty dull, so the big test for the Aussie batting lineup is to come. I guess, Pete, we'll leave the listeners now. Thanks so much for downloading Cricket Unfiltered. That was our SCG Day 5 wrap. Pete, thanks for all your input over the summer. It's been fantastic to talk to you about cricket.
Is it over? We're not doing the one-dayers.
Well, you know, the tests are over.
Oh, okay. Oh, right, yeah. Thanks. 25 days of cricket. You don't normally get that, do you? Are we sitting in the Channel 9 box now? So I did say to them, this has been a terrible series for you guys because they're just going into their broadcast deal. They always go into the broadcast deal and scream that they've been ripped off because they pay for 25 days of cricket. And they get 19 because of the rain. Well, guess what? You've got 25 days. Feels like 125 from my end.
Well, listeners, thank you so much for listening to the Daily Reports throughout the Ashes. I want to thank Ben Horne for all his hard work in putting these Daily Reports together when they've been around the country, and all his hard work all summer, and all the people that have come on every day to chat, Crash, Pete, Gideon. It's been really good to be able to provide daily reports. And listeners, I'm going to leave you with Steve Smith talking about when the Sean and Mitch Marsh decided to stop running in the middle of a test match and hug. So I'll leave you with Smith talking about that, and we've got a full podcast coming later in the week, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Yeah, looking back, it was quite funny. You know, just sort of as I am when I'm watching and when I'm playing, just always sort of in the moment and watching the ball not going to the fence and seeing them starting to hug in the middle just seems a little bit bizarre. And you know, I just wanted Sean to get back in his, well, both of them to get back in their ground and not get run out. So Sean came in the rooms after, and I said, what happened there? And he goes, I just wanted to hug him. I didn't care about anything else. I just wanted to hug him. So it was a strange moment, but, a pretty special moment for the two brothers as well. We'll be right back.